Coming to you live through the power of the internet, it's Nothing Venture, Nothing Game. As always, I'm your host with the most, your GM, Jared. And today, I'm joined by Steve.
Yep.
And normally, we have our weekly playtest. Actual play. And you, our lovely audience, you listen to it and you kind of talk to us through it. And we play Pathfinder 2nd Edition. Sometimes we play other systems. This week, I was sick. So I was unable to get the playtest out, the actual play, because we play in person and not at home. And I decided that me and Steve, because we do a lot of reviews and we read a lot of books and we're kind of deep in the industry here, we should talk about the actual tabletop industry and what that looks like to us and... You know, what people are thinking about. There was a tweet that circulated a while ago. I know I'm kind of bringing up kind of an old topic. A lot of people on YouTube and stuff kind of touched base with this. And the tweet was by a very predominant person in the industry. And they basically said the golden age of tabletop role playing is dead. And not that I'm harping on a dead issue, but... Yeah, this was about like a month ago. This tweet kind of came up, and they said, oh, you know, there was a D&D historian. It was like, oh, tabletop role playing is dead, and I have to disagree. I don't know where Steve stands on this, but I disagree with that statement, Steve.
I was just gonna say just for those who want to actually see the original post, I guess I'll put a link down in the podcast description below. Yeah. But it was Ben Riggs, and it was on January 3rd is when he made his like a big
conversation.
Was a Reddit post or yes. A big, he would post on the socials about his opinion about the golden age of tabletop gaming and how he felt it was over.
Yeah. So Steve, where do you kind of feel on that statement?
It's a multi-post string that he posts. I'm not even sure if it's still up, but obviously you can find it in the other means. Yeah, his first tweet is basically the golden age of TTRPGs is dead. It's not specifically talking about D&D specifically. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the tabletop role-playing game genre as a whole. And he says, the golden age of TTRPGs is dead. We are watching a bright and special time in the TTRPG industry pass away before our very eyes. Around the start of the 2010s, we saw the dawn of a new golden age of tabletop role playing. And like I said, there's like a series of like five extra tweets or X's or whatever you will call them about his opinions. And Ben Riggs, from what I understand, is like a historian and he's a big name in the industry. Mm-hmm. And he makes some compelling arguments about the idea that what's happening now could inevitably hurt the industry.
Yeah.
The idea is it's almost like the old Call of Duty syndrome, right? So we have Call of Duty and it's a great game. We love shooting people in the face, right? We love shooting people in the face with our friends. And then the new map pack comes out. We have to buy a new map pack. Mm-hmm. Okay, well I bought it and Jared didn't. Well, Jared and I now can't play together. It fractures the audience.
Yeah.
Because who can afford it? Who can't afford it? Who is only mildly playing the game? So now you have instead of one larger community, you have a lot of insular communities.
Yeah.
And then Call of Duty 2.5 comes out, and all some people will go to there, and then that has map packs, and then you're just constantly fracturing down the community as a whole to smaller and smaller bits until those smaller communities eventually will die off. Similar to what's happening now, obviously the behemoth of D&D. Wizard of the Coast, mm-hmm. with their, I would say, mismanaging. Look, I'm not there, but in my opinion, from the outside looking in, mismanaging of all the mistakes they've been making lately.
Do you want me to go through the list, Steve? Because I could bring that list up. It's a big list too.
It's a big ass list. But effectively, to fast forward, most of you who listen to this have heard this all before. But effectively, what happened? What the result of this is. Is a lot of people who make D&D content saw the writing on the wall and said, this is a perfect opportunity for me to get my baby out, my idea of what a tabletop RPG can be. And while that's all well and good, the fear And I think where this post is coming from, the fear of that is you start fracturing the community because you want to talk about Matt Colville's system and that just made several million dollars. Mm-hmm. Jared picks that up and he wants to play that. Well, I want to stay with Pathfinder. And then someone else wants to go with one of these new systems. What is the Black Flag? I know that's Age of Valorant or something from, was it Green Goblin Games? Yep. Was it Green Goblin Games?
No, Kobold Games.
Kobold Games. I'm thinking of Green Ronin. That was Green Ronin came out with another game. So now you have all these different people coming with all these different things. Even, what is it, Clownfish, I think, is coming up with their own role-playing game.
Coming up soon, actually next week, the 12th, I think, since this is March, Daggerheart from Critical Role. That's dropping. The beta is dropping. Well, the open playtest, right? Like, I call it a beta because, ironically, I started in video games and then jumped into tabletop games.
So, and then you even have like, you know, friends of the channel, Battle Sauce. They're starting the Kickstarter sometime mid this month sometime, and which I actually may have already hit. I didn't actually get a notification, but that may have already gone live. I have to check.
Yeah, we'll have to check.
But the idea, me rambling, it's what I do. I apologize. But effectively what this is the concern is it fractures the audience. Mm-hmm. The audience is tabletop role-playing games. And maybe we're mostly D&D players. Or maybe we're mostly Pathfinder players. And then some of us matter in Call of Cthulhu and we play other games. But now, instead of having one or two large audiences and those audiences split off a little bit by playing other games as a break for their main game, now you have people who are Matt Colville. That's like maybe like 20-30% of the, I'm just making up numbers at this point.
Yeah.
They take a market share, and then this other little game takes a market share, and this other little game takes a market share. So now you have these little people, the little smaller groups, and what happens if these products don't, like, they don't survive? They maybe do well in the beginning, and there's hype in the beginning of a project. And they're like, oh yeah, new rule system, new fun, new classes, new ancestries or races, you know, new hotness. So you get the new hotness feeling. But then whether the company may be too small to keep up with it and people get bored of it, or they have other projects like, what was it, Cobalt Press. They have other things they're doing. So it's how much of their team can they dedicate to this new role-playing game while maintaining their revenue stream for their other projects. So you have this concern that some of these new projects will just go and get really successful and then die.
Yeah.
And then now these people like, well, what do? I bought all the books and now, you know, yes, it's a role-playing game. So you can always just make up your own stuff. But a lot of people, it's like they want to either buy, you know, there's not going to be anything new because you're effectively paying someone to develop something for you. That's really what, you know, playing these role-playing games. Like, look, we could all come up with a game that kind of sort of resembles a D&D-ish kind of game. Mm-hmm. But we pay to have someone else think of the rules, think of all these ideas, and we want to play in that world.
Yeah.
And the concern is you get into a system like that, maybe from a smaller developer or publisher or maybe an indie. And then, like I said, it maybe gets hype, maybe doesn't get hype. Maybe you're so stoked about it and you got the initial product and then it didn't sell well. So either they move on to another project or that company dissolves. So we have this concern that, and that's the fear. It's like eventually all these little itty bitty projects will all dissolve or most of them will dissolve and there's not going to be anything new to the genre. So that's basically the underlying post that we're talking about is a fact. I don't know, I horribly probably misrepresented it, but as far as I can understand, that was the concern that this person had put forth. And unlike video games, where this very thing happened in the crash of, I think, the 80s with video games, role-playing games is, I don't need to wait for you to make content for me. And that was kind of the thing as I was saying before, like, I want you to make content for me, but at some point, I can just make my own stuff, especially with the advent of AI, and people are going to get mad about this. But if I'm a DM and I have no idea what to do, I'm going to go to a AI text thing, ChatGPT or whatever, any one of these, and go, help me make a D&D adventure. Help me make an adventure with this theme. And so because of that, I just don't think this is going to ever happen.
I agree with your sentiment on the fact that, like, hey, I can always go out and make my own system. I could always go out or not make my own system, but make my own stuff in a system I like playing. And I was just talking to Steve about this before. I was like, you know, after reading about this and talking to Steve about this previous to us going live, I said, in the, let's say the 2000s, right? Let's say 2000, 2010, right? That's 10 years. The only games that kind of dominated the market that I can, off the top of my head, have like a clear, like, hey, these were the tabletop games that most people were playing. Dungeons & Dragons, of course, but that was also in the reign of 4th edition where it looked really bad for them. Pathfinder 1st edition, obviously. You had Vampire the Masquerade and GURPS. And that was really it on the American side. Obviously, there's conversations about games coming from abroad. But that was kind of it. And I know what Steve's saying and what this post is saying, where like, oh, you know, having all these fractured systems can cause people to, you know, we're losing the community. And I was like, I don't think you lose a community when a question about a game can be system neutral. Hey, I'm having this issue with X. How can I solve X? And like you said, Steve, AI can also help with that situation. But that conversation is open. Yes, you do lose the nitty-gritty rules conversation. You know, like, oh, if my player takes these two feats, they think it allows them to, you know, fucking nuke a Tarrasque from orbit, right? That's a different conversation. But general, like, learning rules or general like conversations about running a game without nitty-gritty rules is universal. So I don't think you're losing a community when you have so many people part of the community. I think actually what we're part of is the initial shrink from the explosion of the pandemic flood of gamers, where we saw companies balloon up, right? Like fifth edition, I saw these dramatic increases in numbers, and suddenly now we're seeing the shrinkage, right? Like people aren't buying stuff. And if you're basing that off of just fifth edition Dungeons and Dragons, yeah, it does look like the collapse of the Golden Age. But I was saying this to Steve, like he mentioned, you have Matt Colville, you have Daggerheart, you have Clownfish, you have all these other companies, Cobalt Press, coming out with their own system, and we're kind of in the height of that. I was just saying, like, you know, you have systems where it has no reason to be a system. Like one of the systems I actually like playing and learning about was Age of Sigmar, which is a Warhammer game. It's a, you know, most of us know what Warhammer is, but for those of you who don't know, it's a tabletop war miniatures war game, and it's called Age of Sigmar. And that's out now. Like, I could play that. And that came out, I believe, in the 2019s or the 2020s. Or, again, one of our favorite ones always goes back to is Runehammer and all his systems. And if this was, like, the 2000s or during the quote-unquote golden age of tabletop role-playing, that wouldn't have been possible because the reach of these in the indie, in quotation, right? Matt Colville made $7 million or over $7 million on his Kickstarter, on their Kickstarter. That's not indie. You know what I mean? That we wouldn't see that back in the day. And I think what we're in is more of, like I said, a consolidation of fandoms. I think you're always going to have the fandom of Critical Role, and I think you'll always have the fandom of Dimension 20, which I personally like Dimension 20 more than Critical Role. That's just me personally. Don't come from my head. and you know, I think that's kind of where we're at. I don't think this is a simple, oh, in tabletop role playing's dead, the golden age is over, run for the hills, stop playing, everyone needs to just play fifth edition, right? Like, that's not what I'm looking at. I think we're in the golden age. I think if the conversation was, oh, is it the end of the monopoly of Dungeons and Dragons? Yes, I think because of, like Steve said, everything that Wizards did and has continued to do really nuked their system, for better or worse. I don't think 5.5 is going to be what they expect it to be. They're pushing Vecna, right? This is going on a tangent, but this is just me airing off my grievances. They're pushing Vecna as kind of like a campaign to like kickstart their whole thing, and they're bouncing that off of Stranger Things, which Stranger Things has been out the cultural zeitgeist for at least 3 years or 2 years. When was the Stranger Things season 3? I think that was like the beginning of 2020.
2019.
Oh yeah, so at this point, yeah, 3 years.
Originally released.
Yeah. So a 3-ish, almost 4 years now, right? 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Yeah, 20, yeah, 4 years now. Because we're in 2024. And it's not come, and 5.5 is not coming out till the end of 2024. So 4 years, solid 4 years at this point. Like I said, I don't think they're going to expect that. They're expecting big numbers, and what we're seeing and what I think the historian is seeing is a shrinkage of the fifth edition people. Like I said, consolidate.
Now, just to clarify, he said TTRPGs as a whole. Now, he may have mentioned D&D at some point during his little conversation.
Yeah.
But his comment was
as a whole.
The genre as a whole.
Yeah. And I think what you see there is a lot of conversations as a whole. If you're using social media to be your barometer, you would see it a lot, like a decrease because of fifth edition, right? Like, so if I'm saying TTRPGs as a whole, and I go on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called now, if I'm looking up hashtag TTRPG, I might not get a lot of stuff, but if I look up hashtag D&D, I will get more, right? If I look up hashtag Pathfinder 2nd Edition, I'm definitely not hitting as much as hashtag, you know, D&D. I think that's kind of like an outrageous claim on their part. And not, again, I didn't want to talk on that, but I did want to say, like, I feel the genre in general is stronger than it's ever been. And I kind of feel like having a degree in a bachelor's in American history and having a master's in, well, a different subject. But what I could say, I'm a historian myself, as I study history. The one thing you're never supposed to do is judge the future on the past, because historians have done that and it always looks crazy. I learned that from one of my teachers. They were like, yeah, you don't do that, and here's the reason why. And then, you know, you see these posts, TV, it's just a passing fad. The internet.
Well, yeah, the internet. Yeah, it'll be dead in a couple of years. Yeah, I remember that.
Home computers, not reasonable.
I think what this all boils down to, this boils down to two things. One thing I actually am going to slightly disagree with you on, but I'm going to get to that as my second point. The first thing I think about it is you will always have, no matter what era you're in. Remember, the CDs are supposed to kill music. All of this stuff, you know, all this doom and gloom. You're always going to have people spouting the doom and gloom. Now, whether they actually believe it or they're actually concerned and they're trying to bring light to a situation that they are concerned with, like they're concerned that the TTRPG genre is in a decline, or they honestly concerned that they won't have music to listen to because all the bands are going to go out of business because the CDs are going to kill the genre, you know, the industry. But you're always going to have doom and gloom, or either that, or it's people being sensationalist. I'm not trying to accuse the person who made these posts. I'm just saying that generally it falls into one of the two camps. One, generally concerned, trying to bring light to a situation they fear is going to come true, and sensationalism. And maybe it's a mix of both. Because I will say the shrink actually has, this is one thing I'm going to disagree with, on to my second point. This is one thing I'm going to disagree with Jared on here. I don't think the shrink actually happened yet. What I think is the current genre of people who are into D&D and into these TTRPGs who are now looking at a system, and some people are never going to look for a new system. They're going to play D&D until they've been playing it for, you know, whether they're new players or whether they're people been playing it since the 70s and they're just playing the same game for 30 plus years, or they're brand new and they heard about it through Stranger Things, or their friend said, oh, I watched Stranger Things, to talk about D&D. What's D&D? The Stranger Things, regardless of the fact that it is referencing Dungeons and Dragons by Wizards of the Coast, it pulled people in who had never heard of what a TTRPG was into wanting to know what a TTRPG is. And now with the whole thing with the so many other systems now are being talked about, you probably know at least one person who says, oh yeah, I heard about D&D. They did a whole bunch of stupid stuff. I found this system. And they're going to point to any other system that's going to be coming out. And a lot of these new games aren't out yet. So you're talking about Daggerheart, Matt Colville's still, I think it was recently funded. So they're a long time out from producing a product. All these different companies, you're saying, we're making, and that's the key thing, making our new hotness system. The shrink is will, I think, in my opinion, the shrink will happen eventually. I think it will happen once these systems start coming out, and either it's not meeting up to the hype that these products were, might possibly because of the rush that some of these systems went into to get out because of the whole the sky is falling from Wizards of the Coast changes, or it's just that they can't keep up with the demand, and the demand is significant, especially if you have, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people wanting to play your game, and they're chewing through content. That's always a problem with video game people, the video game developers. The players are always going to eat through your content faster than you can ever make it. So the concern is you make more content faster, which generally declines quality, or you wait and some people just leave your system because they're waiting. They don't want to wait. They want to do something. They want to do it now. They don't want to wait late for later. So I still think that the shrink will happen, but we've seen all these projects making millions and millions of dollars. I don't see the shrink. I just see people shifting from a system to a system. And then once some of these companies, I know, I hope all these companies are successful. Look, let's get this out there. I hope all these companies make copious amounts of money making the thing that they love making. Yeah. But I just don't think that they all could survive next to each other. I think that there is something that they can, there's some competition that'll survive. I just think that I don't see, especially some of these projects are really small, I just don't see them all surviving. And that's where the shrink is going to occur. But now you're going to have, instead of like two, maybe three options, you're going to have like 5 or 8 or 10 solid options. So even though there might be some shrink, meaning some companies have been lost or some projects will just like fade away.
Yeah.
You will still have options. And like I said, going back to the video game analogy, at some point people stop supporting a game, right? At some point they shut the service down and you can't play this game anymore, or there's no more content and they haven't fixed the game in a while. So it's in a horrible state for your new computer that you just bought, mm-hmm. that for the game you were playing 20 years ago just won't work on your new computer. TTRPGs don't work that way. I mean, yes, you have to make up, at some point you're gonna have to make up your own content, but by the time that happens, either you've moved on to another system already and she's okay, well, I don't want to deal with making my own stuff in this system, let's find a system that we can get stuff for, or you make your own stuff, which means that your system is going to survive until you stop playing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have that already, right? Jeff, ironically, if you listen to our actual play, you'll know Jeff. Jeff, ironically, is kind of spearheading in Nassau County in Long Island, the second edition rebirth, because he's all about playing AD&D, and he runs those at the cons, and he's always filled out, you know, which I think is amazing for him. Because he's having that opportunity to have all those people come out and play. But like
I think it's funny because when in his table, he always mentioned that he's like, yes, people that used to play second edition and like, oh man, I love playing second edition, and they'll join his table. But you have also brand new people who've never heard of second edition before join his table and have a blast.
Oh yeah. He always gets like the dads and then like their kids, like the 10-year-olds or the 14-year-olds who are like, I've heard about D&D, I want to get into it. And Jeff's like, oh, welcome to the fucking shit show. You know, because second edition was like, you know, they
wild.
They talk about now a lot of times you hear like, oh, I want to play Grim Dark, or I want to play a more lethal fifth edition. How do I do that? You play second edition because your wizard has D4 hit points
and one spell
and one spell. And there are no such things as cantrips. There was just level zero spells. And yep. Oh no, the orc just hit you for 8 points of life and you're dead.
This is where the idea of having wizards with crossbows, because they were proficient with crossbows. You'd always have a crossbow because when you're out of spells or you didn't want to waste your one spell of the day, it was a goddamn crossbow.
Yeah, and I mean that's why when you talk to the people who played wizards and got to like the 20th, the 10th level or the 15th level in their campaigns, they were gods. Because You played on hard mode the whole fucking time, and then you got all your spells, and you were like, you know what I could do? Fucking nuke you for orbit. I'm gonna call down an orbital death strike on you because now I have godlike power.
I'm just gonna change the reality of your universe for a minute.
Exactly. I'm going to warp space and time around you. Don't worry about it. But ironically, that goes back to old school game renaissance.
OSR.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Which stands for, hold on, let's figure this out. Old school renaissance. It's old school renaissance.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I Googled it. Yeah, it's old school renaissance. But like that, now we're seeing, again, the OSR is becoming huge. A lot of the people I listen to on YouTube that I watch, Jordan with a PH and AJ Pickett are the two that come off the top of my head. Both of them love the OSR stuff. That Jordan with a PH constantly has his stuff for like Dying Earth, DCC, and AJ Pickett. It's very much similar. They talk about
what's the old school stuff. What's the system that Professor Dungeon Master is coming out with? Shadow Dark, right?
No, that's not him. That's a this wonderful
Doombringer. No, his system is Doombringer. He's basing it off of the Shadow something system.
Yes, which was fun, ironically a massive push, which it's kind of like a OSR meets fifth edition kind of game by this wonderful human that I forget it's her name. I believe it's Arcane Library is their YouTube page.
Yeah, didn't she?
She made it, but she funded this by having, again, going back to that conversation earlier, she's a YouTuber, and she just kind of created a community and was like, hey, I like OSR stuff. I'm going to make my own system. If you like it, back it. And it was backed in less than 15 minutes or some shit like that.
And it is called Shadow Dark. I was kind of partly right.
Yeah, and I have it. We should do a review or even play it. I actually watch a guy who's doing like a solo play of it. Solo plays are back. Huge single player games have made a fucking phenomenal resurgence. And
I actually have to show. I have that book series from the, what was that company? That was like
Troll Lord Games or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Basically, it's like a choose your own adventure, yep. But it's a D&D. You actually have a character.
Yeah.
And you're like roll stats, yep, and try to survive to get to the end of the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just a choose your own adventure, it's actually like a single player RPG is really cool.
And I think single player RPGs are going to be a huge thing coming up in the next 5 years. Because a lot of people want to play. But again, you have those moments where A, your table falls apart, or B, you're not near anyone, right? Because we now live in a more communal area of, like, me and you, we're lucky. We live in one of the more popular cities. But if we lived in, like, somewhere in the Midwest, a few miles from, you know, because in America, you could live 2 or 3 hours away from a city. And that's not, like, close. That's very, very far. So, you know, you might have no one to really play with. So I think single player tabletop games are going to become huge. Solo play games are going to become huge in the next 5 years. It's one of these things where, like, to say the golden age is dead because of, like you said, Steve, this spreading of fandoms into multiple facets is that's not bad. That's just called exploration.
There is another point to be made, and I think this is another also concern. I don't know if he actually brought this point up. That was his other point with actual plays also hindering, which I can to a point understand what he's trying to get at. The idea of that people watching D&D over participating in D&D, meaning D&D has become a drama TV show over a actual thing you actively play. And this is many, many people have made videos with the idea of if you're putting your actual play on stream, you have to juggle this concept of the fun versus enjoyment of your audience. Your audience enjoyment and your players' enjoyment, they want different things out of the game. But you have so many more people, because look, your table can only have so many. You're not going to have 1,000 people D&D session. All that would be just pure chaos. But you might have 1,000, like if you get really big, or maybe you take a quick roll, they have millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people watching them all the time, millions of people. You know, do you weigh the millions of people watching your show over the enjoyment of your plays? Now, maybe there is some balance there, but there are times where the audience said, I don't like what's going on here. Because maybe they like a character and that character dies, or that character doesn't go in the direction that they think that character should go in. And then you have the players who are just having fun in the system. So you have to vie with these two things. And the fact that the streaming with at least some channels, has gotten so large, the concern there is that the people start, I wouldn't say capitulating is not the right word, leaning over to appease the audience side, which then makes that they're most of those times, I'm not saying that they never play, but if you're spending your time watching 4 hours of a D&D stream or any game, it doesn't matter, D&D, that's 4 hours you're not playing your game, right? So the concern is that that's less product being sold, hence would it add to the shrinkage? I think it was like a twofold part to his point. I still think that brings more eyes to the hobby.
I think now's a great time to actually say, come watch our actual play Wednesdays bi-weekly Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on twitch.tv/nbng, or check us out on your friendly podcast and listen to us. Perfect plug for actual plays.
Perfect Steve. Segue.
But not to cut you off, because I think this will be another topic for a different conversation, about actual plays and the difference between actual plays and Dimension 20 and Critical Role, because there is a dramatic difference between the way your point is very valid, where it's like, oh, this is 4 hours, I could be playing my own system, or this is 3 hours, or I just want to listen, I don't want to play.
Yeah, and the other concern is that when you're watching extremely polished and produced D&D shows, streamed, whatever, especially, I will say, even especially Dimension 20 falls into this, it's a very produced, very on-schedule game that has to hit marks, and they've even talked, Brendan Lee Mulligan has even talked about this, they have to hit certain marks at certain times, they have to have sets built at certain times, things have to, because they're on a tight deadline, like they have to finish this thing, it's going to be X amount of episodes and that's the end, so they have to hit certain things. When you have such a curated experience, when some of those people, maybe let's even say 10% of the people who watch will go play D&D or play a RPG game, let's keep it general. The concern is that when they play, that 10%, so of the 100,000, those 10,000 people that play are not going to get that experience, hence they may not like it, so then a bunch of those people will never play again, hence shrinking it even more. Like I said, I think that's the idea. I don't agree with it. Yeah. Now you can have people leave, but I think that could add to his point where like the shrink could happen, and it could happen in a bad way.
I see your argument there. That's called the Matt Mercer effect. What you're talking about is called the Matt Mercer effect. I get your point. He's 100% right. I'm sure you will lose that. Like you said, if it's 10,000, you'll lose 1,000 players. That small percentage of people who are like, oh, but there's no smoke machine and I can't play Jester and, you know, I can't just, you know, go off the rails and why aren't you doing a million voices? I get that. I get that 100%. I think I personally think a lot of people, I think people are now knowing the difference. I think people now are like, oh, there is a difference between like when I sit down and watch Matt Mercer, or when I sit down and watch Dimension 20. I that's not what I'm experiencing at the table, because at the table I have to be active, right? Like I can't just be a passive player, I have to be an active player, and also I'm playing with other people. So I get that point. I agree with you in the disagreement of that topic, because I'd rather have 100,000 people see Matt Mercer play Critical Role or Brendan Lee Mulligan play in Dimension 20 and come over into the hobby and lose 10,000 players because it's not their cup of tea, which is great because then they found out like, oh, I don't like tabletop role-playing games, but I'm glad I tried it, right?
I think that for the most part, most people are going to understand the difference. I mean, here's the thing. There are video games that are very much like movies. Take Mass Effect, one of my favorite video game series that I probably ever played. That looks like a movie. That looks like an action flick. But when I watch a Bayverse movie, I know what I'm getting. And when I play a Bay vs. Ruby, my feeling when playing that game is way different, even though it's hitting a lot of the same marks. Big explosions and all this, you know, it hits a lot of marks. But I know, as you know, a person interacting with my entertainment, knowing that watching a movie and playing a video game are vastly different things. So I still think that for the most part, the people who are interested for the long term in playing tabletop role-playing games, this is kind of why I disagree with the point, and I'm kind of on your side with this, that people are going to watch it, and maybe they don't have time or they don't have the group, and that's going to be their fix. And maybe they eventually convince their friends to play. Or they find a group that plays, and then that's that one player going on to the group. Most of those people are going to understand the difference. And it may be a sticker shock. It may be a shock like, oh man, this isn't like... Well, most people are going to be emotionally intelligent enough to understand that one is a show specifically for entertainment to be watched. And the other one is you are participating in your entertainment. You have more directional drive in where your entertainment is going. So I don't think it's going to be as severe as this person thinks it is. And of course, people are going to leave. And you know, life changes. We got work. You got to move. New hours. You work on the graveyard shift.
Yeah.
Now, you're always going to lose players. You're always going to get players. I just think that the fact that the word D&D is in the general... It used to be that you had to whisper things like that. You're like, oh, hey, I'm into D&D. I heard you were talking about it over there. It used to have to be whispered in schools and stuff like that. Now it's in everyone's... Like, there's a D&D movie that made millions of dollars. That's in that has become the lexicon. Whether it's actually D&D and Dungeons and Dragons from Wizards of the Coast, or it's another game system, the idea of a tabletop role-playing game is more ubiquitous now than it has ever been.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we've kind of had like a full conversation on this. I think in conclusion, I think you're right. I think what we're seeing is kind of like a dispersing of people into the hobby, but going all different areas, right? And that's what this person talked about with the golden age of tabletop role playing. Like, hey, I'm concerned that it's dead because so many people are going to go all over the place and we're not going to all be consolidated into one area. And I think that's kind of a bad thing to want, because if everyone just agrees to look at one thing, then you don't have diversity of thought. You don't have that diversity of imagination. It's only this and that's it, right? Like, no one, like, someone might be like, oh, I want to play in space. Well, just play Spelljammer, you know? And I think it's a positive. I think we're in kind of like the industrial revolution or the tabletop revolution currently. I think in the 2020s, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see a lot more games coming out, especially with Matt Colville, Daggerheart. We even, you know, we have Crown, Skull and Crown, and more and more.
You're right the first time. Crown and Skull.
Crown and Skull, right? Skull and Crown. Crown and Skull. We have all these other systems, Battle Source, coming out. And even like more indie stuff is coming out. And I think that's better. And then you have the OSR stuff that's coming out constantly.
Well, it's been out.
Yeah.
I mean, Dungeon World Classic has been out for a long time. And like I said, some of these projects are lesser known, but they have loyal audiences. And then I know Dungeon World Classic keeps coming out with books.
Oh, like
on new stuff.
Yeah, DCC.
So then you do have some of these companies that are smaller companies that can support their people their customers that want to buy the game and they want to play more and they want to buy more stuff. So there, like I said, there will be shrinkage. I just don't think it's going to be significant that it's going to basically affect a quote unquote kill the tabletop RPG. I don't think that's a game you actually can kill, because nothing you can stop them from playing what they've already purchased.
Yeah, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. I think you're right, Steve. So
I'm pretty sure that the D&D police are not going to kick my door and then come into my house and try to steal my D&D books. And you know what? I'd love to see them try.
They'll send the Pinkertons. They've done it before. Wizard has done that. If you don't believe me,
I'm ready.
Look it up. They sent the Pinkertons to like some guy's house because he had like a new box of Magic the Gathering cards.
We're not even gonna rehash that, but that was kind of funny.
To summarize everything, the industry is alive and well and breathing very and breathing or creating more and more new sections for people to get into. And maybe the fantasy genre might pass away or go into the background and allow for the cyberpunk or the sci-fi futuristic. Or maybe, you know, something weird will come out, you know, like you'll get like that, the kind of sci-fi fantasy combo, you know, that will start to take the forefront. If that's a different conversation, like, is fantasy going to be the major point of tabletops in the future? That's a conversation to be had and to see where that goes. Personally, I think the golden age is here and it's strong, and it's stronger than before. You know, I think fifth edition kicked the creation of fifth edition and the launch kicked it off, and it's still going strong because we now have Pathfinder second edition, Pathfinder second edition remastered, which is just changing words because of Wizards of the Coast and the OGL debacle. But Pathfinder is going strong. They just started. So I think what
Hasbro is in Wizards of the Coast decision they've made just kicked the bee's nest.
Oh, 100%. 100%. 100%. I agree with you. But like I said, we could keep beating this dead horse, but I think it's a good place to kind of put a bow on this and to say I disagree, and I feel Steve agrees with me in my disagreeing with the statement and the general vibe that article was giving off. That the golden age is not dead. That's how I think you would kind of agree with me on that.
Yeah, I yet again, I don't know where this came from. They may have been like you said, I think they are using prior of what already happened in the TTRPG industry and maybe even other industries and taking that and then trying to extrapolate it forward. And like you said, it just doesn't work when you try to extrapolate stuff into the future and try to guess what the history shows us did happen and try to say that will happen.
Yes, 100%. And, you know, I agree. So with that being said, we hope you enjoyed this little brief conversation we had. It's probably going to be about 45 minutes, maybe a little less, but let us know what you think. Do you agree with our values and our statements? Do you disagree with us and feel it's dead, everyone off the ship, run, it's sinking? You know, where do we stand? Do you like actual plays? Are you a fan of actual plays? Are you not a fan of actual plays? And why? Let us know in the comments. Send us an email. Tweet us. All this stuff can be found on our socials, NVNG podcast. Or you could go to YouTube and find us on YouTube. You could email us and stuff like that. NVNGpodcast@gmail.com is a great way to find us. Steve, closing statements?
Just remember, if you don't, Jared said agree or disagree, and I say if you disagree, I'm going to call Watsy and send the Pinkertons after you.
Damn. Damn. Ruthless.
Done.
Done. All right. With that being said, we are another mention of the game. We love rolling dice, giving advice with a little bit of that New York spice. Say goodnight, Steve.
Later.